You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Welcome to the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
Are you getting into the celebration mode for the holiday season?
Kind of.
It's the holiday season.
I'm kind of getting annoyed about it. I read something funny online the other day. It says, how come every Christmas movie, you know, when they meet Santa, like at the end, there's a scene where Santa goes back up to his sleigh on the roof, yeah, and jingles the bells and the reindeer lift off and they go shooting away and ignore all the other houses in the neighborhood.
None of those kids get anything. They didn't help Santa.
They were all on the naughty list, honestly.
Yeah. But you know, the funny thing is, when your kids are little, and we're not a religious family by any stretch, but we still did, you know, we did the Santa Claus holidays. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Not the Jesus Christ holidays.
Yeah.
And you know, the Easter Bunny and all that kind of stuff. The Tooth Fairy, which is really stupid, because there's this bunny who wants your old teeth. What? Huh? Yeah. Anyways, it's cool when your kids are real little because they still believe in magic.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something special about that. It's, you know, it's not about you as a parent. It's about the kids. And that doesn't change as your kids get older, as you well know.
Yeah, you know, Leanne came home with the kids yesterday from a shopping trip. She bought them a whole pile of clothes and stuff for Hanukkah. We celebrate. It falls on Christmas this year. And I've been building up stuff for them. And, you know, nobody's thought about anything for us. It's only for the kids, you know. And even though they're older now. And I tell you, yeah, you talk about the magic of the holidays. Charlotte, even though we've always celebrates as a Jewish family, so we never really do the decorations and all of that. Charlotte at 15 years old is still desperate to have a tree with the tinsel and the lights and all that. She loves
because
that.
It's festive.
Because it's nice. I mean, you know, I know a lot of that stuff came from pagan traditions originally and everything like that, but actually what they've built around Christmas with the food and the decorations and the music and all of that sort of thing is just really nice. Unless you're a Grinch.
Yeah. Speaking of not knowing what to get the parents, you know, I get this every year. They get mad at me because they all provide a list. Even Julie does. But I never do.
A list of things you want.
Yeah. Because I don't want anything.
Yeah. Well, you and I are the same.
Explain to them, like, just give me some t-shirts. We've got two drawers full of t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like t-shirts.
Yeah. And well, not only that. T-shirts for guys like you and me, you and I, right? The sort of things we want, we see them, we tend to go out and buy them.
And
also as well, you know, we geeks, we like electronics, we like the geek stuff and everything. A lot of that is quite expensive and you don't really want to ask people to buy something relatively expensive.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to go, you know, oh yeah, I could really do with a new MacBook this year. That's $1,000.
I'm not going to my kids that don't have any money saying, hey, I want a Mac Mini.
Yeah, exactly.
Simply to make a server out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's $500. So each one of you need to cough up $125.
Whereas what you do ask for, and you're right, t-shirts and stuff, because that's the sort of thing you don't tend to go out and buy for yourself kind of ever, unless you absolutely have to. And so
exactly.
If somebody does it for you, then that's a win-win. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Socks. I'll buy my own underwear though. Thank you. you know.
Well, yeah, but we're guys, so we never need to buy old underwear because we got poor underwear in our 20s and we've never needed to replace it ever since.
Yeah, that's true.
We wash it, but until it literally falls apart and you can't wear it anymore, it's good.
They're like, well, why are you still wearing these? They got frays in. They're all frayed and it's because they still fit. They're fine.
They still fit. They're fine. And nobody sees them because they're underneath my clothes.
Who am I trying to impress?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care. Yeah, works for me. But I did want something this year.
Okay.
So I just bought it and told Julie to wrap that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what was it? What was it?
Or it was on sale. No, they're not surprising me with it. What are you talking about? It's a surprise to them what they got me, I guess. What do we get you, Dan? Well, boy, I don't know.
Sometimes it's a surprise when you say, wrap this for me, and they look at it and they go, I don't know what this is. And you go, I'll explain it when I open it.
It's okay. I'll act surprised.
And I'll explain what it is. It's like, oh, it's RAM for my server.
Exactly. No, it's the PlayStation Portable.
Right.
Portal. Okay.
But all the handheld remote thing.
Yeah, because, well, now you can, it does, you don't have to just stream from the PS5. That's the only reason I didn't want it. I didn't want to stream from the PS5 because Cole's playing it.
Yeah.
And then the only time I ever seem to want to play on the PlayStation is if he's playing on it.
Yeah.
And he plays on it a lot, so he's deleted some of my shit on there. And I'm like, God damn it. I kind of wanted to play that again.
Yeah.
It doesn't delete your saves or anything, but if I want to play it, I got to download 65 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And then there's probably a freaking update after I get done.
Because
and
for
then
some
I don't
reason,
want to play anymore.
For some reason, games consoles can't download the update on including the game. They have to only download the original game and then the update that's twice the size of the original game.
Or two updates, because you can't just skip an update. So annoying. Yeah. So, but you can actually stream games now.
From PlayStation
to cloud.
Cloud, right?
Yeah, yep, okay. Yep. Kind of like, so yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm, and it was on sale at Best Buy. So what the hell?
Okay.
So they're getting me that.
I'd be interested to see how you find that in terms of the performance of the games.
I'm looking forward to it.
I've played some Game Pass because I have Steam Deck, which is not easy to play Game Pass games on, but I also have the ROG Ally, which is the PC handheld, so that will play Game Pass streaming games fine. And I have done some streaming. I played Flight Simulator, which the old one, not the current new one, which worked great. But obviously, when you're going for like the first person shooter, stuff like that, where latency is can be a problem. I had some variable performance with that on a fast internet connection, because bandwidth isn't everything. And so I'd be interested to see how it plays out. So, well, that's something we can talk about in a future episode.
Yeah, at least a couple of weeks from now. I have been playing a game, though. I've been playing on my Ambernic, the one that we talked about a few. Yep. I've been playing a Bomberman game that was originally a Game Boy Advance or a Game Boy Color one. Mm-hmm. I've been playing that, and it's one of the rare ones that I don't think I've ever played before, because I'm like, yeah, because I love Bomberman. I think those are just engaging, fun games that you can pick up, play for 5 minutes, get past the level, and put it away.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm looking for a lot of times. I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours playing a game.
Yeah.
I just... A, I don't have the time. Two, I'm tired, got things to do. So I've been playing that a little bit. But let's talk about, so we don't have our bracket this week. We're taking a little bit of a break from that. We'll get back to it eventually, but, we want to move on to some other things. Have you been watching Skeleton Crew yet?
I have. I'm fully up to date with the episodes.
Yeah. Three episodes so far. Mm-hmm. You know what I call it?
Goonies in Space.
Star Wars Goonies.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I'm not using that as a bad thing either. I started watching this show, and yes, obviously it does have very strong parallels with the Goonies, because it's like, group of kids, kind of not necessarily kids who get on with each other, they're kind of thrown together and adventures happen. And there are a couple of things I love about this show. When I started watching it, first of all, and this is something I've been asking for years, is I want to see Star Wars outside of, not for kids. I'm not bothered about that, but I want to see Star Wars where people live in the galaxy outside of the core saga.
Yes.
I want to see people. What's it like for people just living in a galaxy? Right. And this is what we get in the first episode. It's imagine Star Wars in the suburbs. Yeah, and it's kids who live in that universe, but they are just dealing with normal kids' problems, and I love that. I love the world building they gave us there, and it turns out that there's more to it than what we initially see. But nevertheless, I enjoyed that. I thought, yeah, this is like just a it could be a Star Wars sitcom almost. Apart from
that, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's. And they brought a couple, like one of the pirates from The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Same guy. Yeah, same everything.
That's right.
I like that.
But the thing is, it has calls to the rest of the Star Wars saga. It obviously takes place in the same universe. We see X-Wings and this sort of thing, but it's not, at least
it's
so
not
far.
About that.
Yeah, it's not about the big stuff that's happened in Star Wars. It's we'll see where it goes with that, but hopefully the way they've set it up at the moment, there's, you know, the only thing I would criticize it for is that I didn't think it was useful to actually show Jude Law's character right at the beginning of the show. I didn't think that really added anything.
I agree.
Yeah, especially as, you know, you have to join the dots up because he was wearing a helmet. And then and the second thing is, I look at it and it's I mean, that first scene is an example. It's very, very CGI heavy. It looks great. There are some dodgy CGI in this show, but not that bit. But I just thought, I'm looking at all this money being spent on the screen, and I felt myself thinking, well, the problem with that is that raises the stakes for this show in terms of how successful it needs to be for them to justify it. And I kind of wish they'd dialed it back a bit, because I don't think it's necessary to have big CGI heavy scenes to tell this story. And certainly not at that beginning bit, which is kind of a throwaway introduction. I just thought.
I think they kind of do. I think that you need to establish this as Star Wars, and there are certain things you kind of expect: spaceships and explosions and all that. So
yeah, but you know,
I had no problem with it.
The problem I had is it was a very it had a lot of callbacks to the beginning of A New Hope. I mean, it was like a homage to the beginning of A New Hope. You know, there's guys in corridors pointing guns at a door. You know, you hear the banging on the top. You know, they're going to come bursting through the door and all that. It was a deliberate homage to that initial scene. Only
that's what I kind of liked.
Yeah, I liked it. But the point is, they turned the CG up to 11. And again, I just felt, well, you still could have done that scene with all the callbacks and everything for probably a lot less. And
well, I don't give a shit about how much money they pay, but
well, I do because what will happen is that the suits at Disney will see how this show performs, and then if the viewing figures aren't absolutely stellar, they'll go, "Oh, we spent millions and millions of dollars on this. We're not going to do it again. It's a failed experiment." And I want to see more stuff like this, not less. So that's my only concern. It's a kind of a business style criticism, but you know, hopefully the show is popular enough that it will. I get surveys from Disney on a regular basis, and they sent me a survey about it. So they obviously are interested in trying to find out how many people are watching it and how popular it is and everything. And I do hope it's successful. And then the other thing that I hope for is that, you know, we've been down this road before with these Star Wars shows where we love the first three episodes and then they go to a tailspin. So I really hope that that's not what we're going to see here. The thing ends up being right in the middle of the Jedi saga and, you know, major galaxy spinning, galaxy spinning stakes and everything, I'm going to kind of go, really. So I don't think they're going that route.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that route myself. What I like, and I told Cole this, I said, you know, this actor he was also up for the Obi-Wan role back in the day.
Yeah.
And he obviously didn't get it, but he was like, he looks familiar. And I was like, he was a bad guy, one of the bad guys in the Captain Marvel movie.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember him. Yeah. But I don't think he did. yeah. I don't think he did.
And let's face it, that is not the pinnacle of Jude Law's career.
I mean, well, no, but for him, that's what he's going to know him for.
Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, Jude Law is obviously
he's a really good actor. A
very good and world-famous actor.
Yeah.
Not known for his genre work, actually. So, though he's done, wasn't he in that thing where it was all rotoscoped?
I don't know.
With Keanu Reeves?
I don't remember.
No, obviously it wasn't that big a hit, so. No, you don't remember.
Anyway. I don't. Speaking of hits, I've heard years now people talking about Yellowstone. Oh, Yellowstone, Yellowstone. And I'm not big into cowboy movies or shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're okay. I mean, but I like Kevin Costner. And I started watching the pilot episode for Yellowstone years ago. And for whatever reason, I got bored with it and stopped watching it.
Yeah, so did Kevin Costner.
Yeah, sounds like. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this show a try. So yeah. I started watching this, and I posted on Facebook. And I noticed the only people who were like, oh, my God, this is my favorite show of all time, that kind of, you know, hyperbole, I know that they're Republicans.
Right.
Because here, let me pull up my Facebook post. I don't know if you saw it or not.
I didn't see it. No, but I can from what I know of Yellowstone, I can believe that.
This is what I wrote: watching Yellowstone for the first time, am I supposed to root for any of these characters? Almost all of them are just vile human beings. On episode season 2, E2 now, I enjoy the show. Don't get me wrong, but almost none of the main characters have any redeeming qualities. And they don't. They're awful human beings. And then somebody said, you know, I love, and then she's Beth and Rip and Jace are my favorites. And I said, but why are they your favorites? They're so despicable things. They do despicable things to each other. So far, Beth is a psychopath, mostly because her mother was so vile to her. Rip is a bully and murderer, and Jace is dumb as a rock and a murderer as well. I don't get why these are your favorites on the show, but the characters are just terrible people in every respect. Yeah, not good people on the show, but so good as actors. I enjoy watching the show. I get that, but
sometimes
why are they? I don't.
Sometimes people enjoy watching people be bad. I mean, let's face it, stuff that was popular back in the day, like Dallas and Dynasty and stuff like that, which is kind of a modern take on, I think, with much better production standards. You know, people like to see people be horrible to each other sometimes.
You're supposed to watch this show. This is a family that has certain dynamics, and what they're really doing is they're trying to save their ranch. Except the ranch is half of the state. It's like they shouldn't have all this space. Why do they get all of this?
But that's why I draw the comparison to Dallas, because Dallas was full of horrible, horrible people doing incredibly rich, horrible people doing horrible things to each other because they were all dysfunctional and mean. And yeah, it was always, again, about saving South Fork or saving the oil company and everything like that. And you used to think, but yeah, but these people don't deserve any of this. They're horrible.
They're horrible people.
And Yellowstone is the same.
Yellowstone, they're even worse. They openly murder people and there's no repercussions. And 5 minutes later, it's like they don't care. Yeah. They're like, you just murder someone and you're eating, you know, dinner.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened. It's just like, well, we all protect the family and our ranch and our heritage. You don't deserve any of it. Well, was it like this with great? One character says, was it like this with your father and grandfather? Yes. Oh, so they murdered and killed people to get what they wanted. That's okay. Look what we have now. Now we have to protect it because there's always going to be someone that wants to take it away from you, son. Good. I hope there is. I hope someone does take it away from you. You're vile, despicable. You should be in a prison cell for the things that you've done. It's just awful. I'm still going to watch the whole thing because I know the series is about to, because I want to see how it ends. And I'm hoping they'll end up in jail, even though I know they don't. And I know they're going to kill off Kevin Costner's character because he quit the show.
Yep.
But man, they're just terrible people. It's well written. Don't get me wrong. It is entertaining, but they're just the characters themselves. It's like, there's no one to root for. Well, there's no one to root for.
Yeah, but sometimes you choose your favorite bad guy and you root for them. I mean, wasn't Succession the same sort of thing?
I never watched Succession. Well,
no, but I believe it was the same. I mean, people were raving about how fantastic it was, but it was the same thing. It was a light.
Well, you can even say Sopranos for that matter. They're all a bunch of bad guys.
Yeah.
And everyone loved Tony Soprano, even though he was a bad guy.
Yeah. So the problem from a dramatic point of view is that if you do a series about a well-adjusted, nice family who are all nice to each other and the people around them, it's not very interesting.
Could be.
So that could be the thing. But I agree with you. It's not the sort of drama that normally appeals to me, which is why I've only seen a couple of episodes. And you know, I think one of the reasons that people enjoy Yellowstone is because it's so overdone. I mean, I know that Beth Dutton, the redhead girl, who's actually an English actress. She's a well-known English actress. I know
she's
a couple
blind,
of
that redhead.
From the couple of episodes I'm saying now. I mean, she's kind of, you know, chewing the scenery up. She's
really good.
Leaning into the you know, the damaged psychopath role, very much so, you know. But it's yeah, it is very, very over the top. And you are right. It's difficult to root for any of them, really.
I mean, that character, if you haven't watched it, spoilers, I don't give a shit. She is a little girl, like 12, 13 years old. She's horseback riding with her mom and her little brother.
Yeah.
She does something. I can't even remember what it was, but she's a little girl.
She's been told not to do something with a horse. Yeah. And she does it, and then her mother falls off and
dies.
Dies.
And as she's laying there dying, she is just ragging on her daughter.
Yeah.
Saying, like, this is your fault. Yeah. And then she rides off to get help. And then she looks at the little brother and she's like, if I have to die, the last thing I get to see is you, and yeah, I can rest. And I'm just like, who is this mother? Holy shit.
Yeah.
You just completely destroyed your daughter. Just
yeah. And then the father
wrecked her forever.
The father then blames her for the death of in his own.
In a later episode, yeah, he's like, don't ever mention your mother. You lost her right. I'm like, holy shit. You guys are evil.
Yeah.
Just evil people. You should get AIDS of the face and have your face melt off and die. They should make a scarecrow of you.
I think that's season 5.
Yeah. Just awful. Just terrible people. I'm going to continue watching this. So they're getting my money, I guess.
I just
kind of hope
this is terrible. This is awful. This is terrible. This is awful. You going to watch some more? Oh yeah.
Well, I got to see how it ends now. But yeah, this is terrible, people. It looks like you put a note in here that it says Apple's movie theater beef with Hollywood is getting worse.
Yep. So this is about a Apple made this movie with Brad Pitt and George Clooney called Wolves.
It's a good movie, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I've not seen it, but I've heard variable reports of how good it is.
No one's going to win an award for it. Don't get it wrong.
So here's
but it's just a fun, easy movie to watch.
So here's the thing. This is the sort of thing that used to get released in the cinema all the time. And what happened?
Yeah, arguably two of Hollywood's biggest actors.
Yeah, that's right. You know, kind of a dramedy type thing. Two famous actors are in this movie, and it's directed by John Watts, who directed the first Spider-Man movie, Homecoming. This is, you know, but the problem with this was that Apple apparently led everyone involved, including the actors who, because of their stature, kind of had a production role in this, that this was going to be a theatrical release. And late in the day, they decided it wasn't going to be a theatrical release, but Apple didn't bother telling anybody.
They found out in the press release.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you can imagine, I think the creatives involved were mildly disturbed by this. And I think the problem with from what I've read of the movie, given today's environment, I don't think that decision was a bad decision. I think when they saw the film, they saw it was okay, but it wasn't stellar. I think they thought the cost of a theatrical release wasn't justified. The real problem here is that Apple has managed to piss off some very, very powerful people in Hollywood in the process who probably will never work with Apple again.
And they throw a bunch of money at them.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether they will. This is not the first time this
happened. All about money.
It is all about
money. All this is about money.
It's all about money. But I think the problem is when you get powerful people who have to work with other powerful people who need money, those people can get money from elsewhere. And so they don't need to work with Apple. And I think it's just a bit of an own goal to actually piss them off. And I think this is what slightly concerns me about Apple's strategy or lack of strategy here. And it goes back to other criticisms many of us in the industry have made of Apple over the years, which is they are sometimes, when it comes to business decisions, overly arrogant and don't appreciate that they're not the best at everything. And don't always, you know, they burn bridges. They very often burn bridges that don't have to be burnt with just a little bit of thought and business common sense. Even if, you know, even if they hate these people, which I don't think they do, but even if you do, even if you hate the whole project and you can't wait to be rid of it, yeah, to me, it's just bad business to turn around and piss people off by not talking to them when you've worked with them for 9-12 months, which is what happened here. It's worse when, well, is it worse? It's bad, which if it's people you've never, nobody's ever heard of, it's probably worse actually, because then you're exploiting those people's lack of stature. But also it's not great when you do it to people who actually do have influence in the industry and are probably at the moment going around telling other people who have a lot of influence in the industry, God, don't work with Apple because they are disrespectful. And I think
until someone throws a bunch of, from Apple throws a bunch of money at them to well, do yeah, it, but then
that,
they'll do it.
But that just means you had to get over that own goal, you had to throw more money. And what's the point of that? Because again, just like I was saying before with the special effects in Skeleton Crew, the more money you throw into a project, the more risk you throw into a project. And let's face it, this whole experiment at the moment, we're trying to transition away from theatres and everything to streaming and independent production, all this sort of thing, is all a little bit up in the air at the moment. So why make it worse by introducing extra risk?
More and more people do not want to go to movie theaters. I think you and I probably qualify for both of them. There was another movie that was released to theaters. What is it called? Hold on a second. Let me. I had to pull it up. I don't remember the same name of the movie. Prime Video. And I'm sure it's, yep, Red One. So, again. Dwayne Johnson, who, by the way, I think, honestly, his stature as, you know, oh, it's a new Dwayne Johnson, The Rock's movie, you got to go see it in theaters. I think that's done. I don't think he's the draw anymore. Nobody really cares. He plays the same character in everything for the most part. He's in it. One of my favorite actors is in it. He's Santa Claus. Do you know who he is?
Who is that?
I can't remember his name.
not that favorite then.
Just drawing a blank. J.K. Simmons.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. This just drew a blank. And Chris Evans, Captain America. He's
Red One is one of these genre-crossing movies. What happened? What would happen if you made delivering Christmas
after
presents
Santa Claus into Red One?
Yeah, into a military spy theory.
Right. Yeah. So this is number one in the U.S. That's obviously because it's on Amazon Prime and number one in the U.S. and on Prime or streaming, period. I don't know. After Santa Claus, codename Red One, is kidnapped, the North Pole's head of security, Dwayne Johnson, must team up with the world's most infamous bounty hunter, Chris Evans, in a globe-trotting, action-packed mission to save Christmas. Now, I've seen the trailers, the CGI snowmen that they punch, and they're mean snowmen, and there's a polar bear for reasons. I'm going to watch it because it looks like a fun movie. Well, again, I never would have went to the theater to see it, but this was released in the theater.
Right.
And it was an abysmal failure. So 2 weeks after the theatrical release, which they would have kept in the theater longer if it was successful, or it would have been on Amazon as a rental. But it was a failure. It just, nobody went and saw it. And I saw some people that went to see it on TikTok, expecting them to just rip the movie. And they're like, actually, I went in this movie with no expectations, except for I thought I was going to rip it afterwards, but it was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I wish I would have just saw it at home. There's no reason to go to the theater to see it, but it's actually pretty entertaining. Well, it's not great.
Before we had streaming, this was again, the sort of movie that often got made for much less money. Don't get me wrong. This would have not been a $250 million movie when back in the day, this, they would have made this for about, probably about 30, 40 million, yeah. You know, and some of these movies were quite good and others disappeared without a trace. The problem at the moment is, it's for me, it's the stakes. And this is a theme that I'm coming back to. Dwayne Johnson was paid $50 million for this movie, right? Which is more than the budget of movies from when we were growing up, yeah? And apparently he was turning up to filming 7 hours late on regular occasions. Yeah.
He's been doing that for a while, yeah, all reports say.
Yeah.
And you got to believe it because you've heard it from multiple productions that the guy shows up at his own time.
And really, you know, I'm sorry, if somebody's paying you, even they're paying you scale and minimum wage, yeah, they're paying you. You have a job to do. Turn up and do your job. If they're paying you $50 million, especially more so, right? Yes. And apparently that massively increased the budget of this movie. But I think, again, the way these productions are made nowadays, particularly with the streaming involvement, is they throw a lot of money in. And the difficulty is it then does increase the stakes. If a movie doesn't do well, but it costs $40 million to make, right, that is a much less of a problem than it costs $200 million to make and it doesn't do well. And, you know, I think the industry needs to step back from this throwing money cliff. A lot of industries do. The gaming industry has got this problem as well, where you can't throw $250 million into a project on the assumption that, you know, oh, hey, it'll be good because it's got this person in it and it's got that person in it, or it's this story and that story, because a lot of them don't. And also, you can't really tell, because a lot of the, back in the day, again, a lot of the this low-budget movies that came out were the ones that turned into being the big franchise-spanning classics.
I'll give you an example of that. And it came out around Christmas time, even though a lot of people debate whether it's a Christmas movie or not. It totally is. There was a TV actor that was getting a little bit of popularity, but he wasn't a huge actor at this point.
No.
And they tapped him for a movie. You know what movie I'm talking about.
I do, yeah.
Go ahead.
We're talking about Bruce Willis and Die Hard.
That's right. Bruce Willis was not Bruce Willis at that point.
No, he was well known because he was a big star on TV from Moonlight.
He was a pretty big star.
Yeah.
Back then, TV stars did not translate into movie theater stars at all.
Not easily. It was very, very rare. And Moonlighting was a big hit that nobody remembers nowadays.
No, Moonlighting was a fun movie or TV series at the time.
Yeah, but it was, don't get me wrong, it was big. It was a little bit like the Friends of its day. It had a will they, won't they plot in it.
Sure.
The
show went down.
Yeah, it was quirky. It took risks. It was
a fun series. Yeah, it really was.
It was notionally a detective show, but they did lots of very unusual things in it. So it was interesting. People enjoyed it, but certainly it wasn't, you know, it hadn't taken over the world. And I think when we heard that Bruce Willis was going to do an action movie, everyone kind of went, ugh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Die Hard came out. And I remember. I remember.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It wasn't a Christmas movie, even though it was set at Christmas, because I remember seeing it in the summer in Florida. So, but I remember going in to see Die Hard and coming out and just thinking it was the same way I felt after I'd seen Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which is, again, is I think a lot of people would accept to be one of the best movies of its type ever made. Die Hard was like that. You just came out and you were blown away by how good it was.
What I liked was the vulnerability of John McClane.
Yeah.
You know, that he would get messed up.
Yeah.
And he was messed up afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, like so many action movies, someone gets shot and then 10 minutes later in the film, you can't even tell they were shot.
Yeah.
They're not showing any pain. John McClane was in pain the whole time. He was hurting. He's bloodied. He's hobbling around because he didn't have his shoes on.
Yep.
It was just a tight, well-written plot and movie that was exceptionally written and acted. The bad guy, of course, Severus Snape.
Alan Rickman.
It made his career.
Yep.
It made Bruce Willis's career. Without Die Hard, he probably would have faded away to a nothing actor.
Yeah.
A TV guy who was in a couple more series after that and just basically would have retired.
Yeah.
I don't like how his career spiraled at the end and he was doing these movies, even though he was having his health problems just to make money. It's like, let's
Yeah, well, it's some stuff. It's debatable how much he was actually in control of that, or whether it was the people around him. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the thing is, up until about 10 years ago, I mean, don't get me wrong, he made some bad movies, including some Die
Hard. He made a lot of bad movies, but he also made some pretty good movies, yeah,
including some of the Die Hard movies. Later Die Hard movies were not great.
I think Die Hard 1 and 2 are great. Yeah. I think I actually enjoy the second one a little bit more than the first one.
Yeah,
that's the one at the airport.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie, which, by the way, takes place at Christmas again,
yeah,
which reinforces my belief that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And the ones that sucked is in the summertime. Although, no, you know what? I don't want to say that because Die Hard 3 was really good with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Again, they continue to get strong performances in the movies, but the plot of that one is not great.
No, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, the plot in the second one's kind of bad too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they were all basically a retread of the original movie. Which,
sure.
The original movie was the one that had the original idea, which was, you know, terrorists take over a building, off-duty cop who's, you know, of questionable competence, it happens to be in the building and decides to not stand for it. You know.
It's one of the rare movies that, well, I don't want to say that. I would say nowadays you very rarely see someone come out of nowhere and become a major star.
Yeah,
it's kind of a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. Well, back then you had a Bruce Willis or an Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone makes their big movie and they instantly become a huge star.
Yeah.
For Sylvester Stallone, obviously it was Rocky. Schwarzenegger was the Terminator. Some people say, well, what about Conan? Conan was never a huge hit.
No, it wasn't.
It was not a huge hit.
No, and not only that, he only got the job in Conan for his physique.
Because
he
did size.
He didn't get it for his acting ability. And I would say, you know, credit to Arnold. One of the things I would always credit for Arnold Schwarzenegger, because, you know, when he first started his career, everyone was like mocking the accent and they said, you know, that he played the same character in all of his movies, you know, and he took these movies where he didn't have to say an awful lot and he would just have to look tough. And, you know, you could certainly level that criticism at his performances in the original Terminator and Conan, stuff like that. But this is a guy who everything he has done, whether it be acting, whether it's the politics, whether it's be the philanthropy, you can tell this is a guy who works his ass off to get better at everything he does. And
well, what gets me about this movie is I watched a interview with him and James Cameron, who was the director, for those who don't remember.
Yeah.
That Schwarzenegger was actually for John Connor.
Yeah.
They offered him the role of John Connor, the good guy that comes back from the future. And wait a minute.
Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese, sorry. Yeah. And he comes back to the future to rescue Connor's mom.
Yeah.
And they thought, you know, he's the good guy. So he's a big, strong, strapping good guy. Yeah. And after he read the script, he was still going to go for it, but he met with the director to talk about how the Terminator needed to be. And the more he talked about it, the more they both realized that he actually is better for the Terminator. So he got offered that role.
Yep.
And the rest is history. But think about the idea that, hey, instead of being the good guy, I want to be the bad guy in this because I know how this bad guy should act. And he was 100% right. And Cameron says the Terminator is the Terminator because of the feedback before the movie even shot, because of Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he had the mannerisms that he should have and the way he speaks. And it 100% worked.
You could argue that Schwarzenegger was channeling something already inside him for those ideas. But nevertheless, he pulled it off and it made the reveal in the second one where you see the Terminator again and then actually there's a switcheroo and he's the good guy this time. And then what Schwarzenegger did was to take that character he created of the, you know, the faceless, mindless robot and give it and through the course of the movie, have it develop humanity is an understated achievement, I think. And I have a lot of time for today's Arnold Schwarzenegger, because as I say, I think everything he's done, even when he was the governor of California and everything, and everyone thought, oh God, you know, this is just a celebrity endorsement. And actually he made it work and he did it well, because I think that he's just a guy who works his ass off at being better at everything he does every day. And I've got a lot of respect for that. And unlike some people who get paid $50 million and then turn up 8 hours late on set, which I think is kind of despicable, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, and Arnold has shown some range too.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about Twins.
Yeah, and we got to go back to Bruce Willis. Yeah, to go back to Bruce Willis. I mean, I think after people saw him in Die Hard, everyone assumed he was just going to be an action star. And then he took some roles that were completely outside of the box and absolutely delivered on them and showed that he had a lot of range as well. And that's one of the things that gave him the career he had. As I say, kind of, you know, last 10 years or so, as he got ill, it kind of fell apart. But, you know, best wishes to Bruce Willis, because nobody wants to end up like that.
No, I would rather, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go there. Yeah. Finally, let's talk about this, because you've had this in the notes for years of possible subjects to talk about, and it just got kept getting pushed back and back and back. But let's talk about it. And that is how good the reboot series of Planet of the Apes is.
Yeah.
Now, Planet of the Apes, who, for those who are young, don't realize, this was originally, what, a 1970s? Started in the 60s, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Very popular series. I mean, it was really good at the time. I never enjoyed it. I thought they were kind of campy.
I was going to say that was that they were after the first one, they became very, very campy because of some of the people involved.
Exactly.
You know, Roddy McDowall was one of the apes who appeared in many of the movies and, you know, a great actor, but also, well, he played the ape kind of campy, and that made, and it was the height of camp. It was late 60s, yes, early 70s. So
exactly.
The original movie, which everyone, you know, remembers the ending for, Charlton Heston. I mean, Charlton Heston played it straight. Charlton Heston played it as Charlton Heston, which was kind of...
Yeah, he played it straight, but way over the top at the same time.
And also as well, you know, brought some of his... because it turns out when he was making racist comments about the apes, it's because he actually was a bit of a racist, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure.
but... You know, it had the great ending where he finds out that the Planet of the Apes is, in fact, a future Earth. And we destroyed it. Became a bit of a classic. But after that, they all went downhill, and then it got turned into an even more campy TV show.
And then they tried to reboot it in 2001 with Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg and Tim Burton directing.
And it was terrible.
It wasn't, the problem is the premise of the whole time travel thing was kind of telegraphed right at the beginning of the movie. And, you know, which meant...
But it wasn't time travel in that one. It was a parallel Earth.
The parallel Earth, though, was the final twist scene. But actually, during the whole movie, it becomes clear that Mark Wahlberg has traveled in time. And the apes from his crashed ship have evolved during that time. And the problem with that is if that is the original twist, kind of showing that at the beginning just kind of invalidates the whole point of the movie, because it's like, oh, it's evolved apes and now they speak. So what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes the reboot series, I think, even better. Number one, the screenwriting was just off the wall. Absolutely. I mean, it was so good.
But they
don't do any kind of twist anything. They start at the very beginning.
Well, they basically say, okay, so we've got to evolve the apes. So why don't we show the apes evolving and show,
exactly,
because you can, as they demonstrate in this set of movies, you can get,
and this is 2011, by the way, that this was released, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, 2011.
You can get a hell of a lot more drama out showing the apes evolve and how they become to take over the Earth than you can from showing it as a shock twist at the end. And this basically shows how it happened over the lifetime of initially the initial ape that kind of makes it happen, Caesar, who is... I think the other thing behind the success of these movies is because this was the first one after Gollum in Lord of the Rings,
yes,
where they basically said, okay, let's take Andy Serkis's idea of motion capture as an art form. And Andy Serkis, after Gollum, had basically developed a studio that did this and trained actors to do this. And he said, you know, this can be a new way of doing movies. And this is when they went, yeah, okay, let's go for it. And he is Caesar the Ape.
He is 100%.
Because,
this is one of the only movies in the world that I actually like James Franco in.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand that guy. There's something about him that's just smarmy and just icky.
But not like, I would not let him
watch my children.
But not.
No, he's actually good in this movie.
He doesn't do the smarmy thing.
He plays it straight and he's really good in it.
Yeah. And you know, you really kind of believe his character as somebody who wants to change the world and then watches it all go wrong.
But remember, this is 2011. So how good was the CGI? It 100% still holds up.
Oh, yeah.
Caesar as the little ape is just, he's 100% a great character. And it was so good. They won, they were nominated for an Oscar. But this led to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So this is a 2014 movie. And, you know, usually when you get, okay, now it's a part two. How good is this going to be? Really good. So they took the idea that the apes have now evolved and it's not just Caesar anymore. And it's been a few years now, quite a few years. And, you know, let's go from that perspective. Yeah. And it's 10 years, by the way. And it's so good. And it's killed most of the humans that the drug that they use to, you know, evolve the apes, which kind of puts a different spin on the first movie and that, wow, he developed this and he made this intelligent ape, but it basically is going to kill the human race.
Yeah, it created a pandemic disease that wiped the human race out, which is,
simian flu.
Yeah, but which is kind of scary, bearing in mind what happened 6 years later.
Yeah. No.
So this is about the conflict between the remaining humans and the now intelligent apes.
Yeah. Which leads to 2017 War for the Planet of the Apes. And this is a great movie.
Yep.
It's some really good acting. I mean, I thought that Woody Harrelson was just brilliant in the movie. And they know that this disease now makes humans dumb. Hmm. And you're supposed to root for the apes.
Yeah.
But as a human, it's kind of hard to, because you're like, yeah, but I don't want to see the humans all die, even though all the humans that seem to be left are despicable humans. And the apes are just trying to live in nature, but they're kind of not either. It puts a different spin on where you think it's going to go.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I mean, it made me like the first two movies even more. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
It was a fine trilogy. As you say, unlike many movies, you know, it was a trilogy where each of them are different, but each of them have the same level of quality. And they're all equally watchable and, really fine. The last one, I think less so.
I still really enjoyed it though. Yeah. They finally move on from Caesar.
Yep.
Which is not, the first three movies are all about Caesar, but he dies in War of the Planet of the Apes. But they have an ape that looks exactly like him, and he's the new hero, and he's Caesar's son, shocker. Mm. It's a little bit not as good as the other ones, but I still think that it's better than almost any other fourth movie in any sequel.
Probably. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, can you think of a fourth movie that's come out that's been as good as the original trilogy?
Phantom Menace.
Well, that's a prequel, though, so that doesn't count. It's got to follow.
And not only that, I think we all accept the Phantom Menace wasn't a patch on the first three movies. My tongue was very firmly in my cheek.
What's the new one of the sequels, though? I forget.
The Force Awakens.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was kind of a retread of the original movie. I don't think you could say that was as good as...
No. It could have been if they would have continued that storyline the correct way instead of just handing off to a new creative team that's like, well, let's do something totally different now. But I still think Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is well acted. It's a decent story. It's a little not as good, this, it feels like this is the first movie they would have made if they were going to reboot a series.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it would have the big, big reveal at the end with the Statue of Liberty is actually an ape.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't go that route. Yeah. And now there's a planned 2027 sequel, United or Untitled Kingdom of the Planet Ace. So there's no title for it yet.
Never a good sign.
No. But
I smell somebody's still working on the script and they've no idea what it's going to be.
Yeah. I was wondering, is it worldwide? How did it get worldwide? Like, once you know this is happening, wouldn't you just like close your borders down? Well,
interestingly enough, there's another movie coming out soon that has the same problem. This is 28 years later, which is...
Yeah, the trailer looks pretty good.
It does, but it's the fourth movie in what was originally Danny Boyle's zombie series where the people aren't actually zombies. They're infected with a rage virus. And they did 28 Days Later, which was brilliant. 28 Weeks Later, which was okay. I've not seen was there another one after that, or is this the next one?
I think this is the next one.
But this one's 28 years later. And the problem with this one is that now, apparently, again, it's got the same issue. This virus, which was originally in the United Kingdom, has now apparently spread across the world.
And
you just kind of go, well,
how? Dang English people again.
Well, yeah, but the point about setting it in the United Kingdom is that we are an island and we can.
Yeah, exactly.
You could literally do,
a naval blockade. And
yeah, exactly.
Everything.
You could just quarantine the entire island. And you know what? Britain has done that. We don't have rabies in this country. And that's because we basically stamped it out and we've got very firm controls that protects people bringing animals in. And we've managed to get rabies.
My plan has not come to fruition.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not opening any Christmas presents from you this year, especially if they're moving.
It's a Hanukkah present.
What I'm saying is it's conceivable that
it's a dreidel.
Yeah.
So when you spin it, it spins
rabies.
Everything is just
rabies dreidel.
That's right.
That would be great.
Oh, I'm going to have to cut that out because now we have to write that script. And
I was
going to
say that will be a great low budget horror movie, which is rabies Hanukkah, rabies dreidel. That would be
the rabies dreidel. We can really piss people off if we make it some. To really piss people off, though, we make it some. A Muslim thing that's the cure that'll really make a man.
Well, yeah. To escape escape the rabies, the Muslims have to drink alcohol.
Yes.
How offensive can we make one single move?
Yeah, but to transport the good guy that has a cure.
Yeah,
they have to use a monk.
a monk who's a closet paedophile.
We gotta say that one for the Catholic priest that comes in somehow. just destroy every bit of credibility we have with every religion on the planet. Everybody will hate us.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. All they gotta do is listen to the podcast, and they'll already hate us. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. The most offensive movie you could possibly make. You go after every single religion.
It's a shame because Roger Corman's not alive anymore. Otherwise, I'm sure he'd finance it.
Oh, yeah, we'd have to get him on the horn if he was still alive. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Rabies dreidel.
Well, you look, as the script.
I'm not using that as the show notes, by the way. That's not going to be the name of the show.
The script for Untitled Planet of the Apes movie is still out there, so you never know.
Oh, boy. I think with that, we should wrap up this episode of Geek Spa before we go down a really worse rabbit hole. And if we offend anybody, I don't care.
It's all in jest. If you can't laugh at the world, what else can you do?
I agree with the comedians that say you can make almost anything funny.
Yeah.
It all is in the delivery.
Hey, tell you won't know this, Tim, but last night our version of Dancing with the Stars, Strictly Come Dancing, a blind guy won it.
Awesome.
So, you know, the jokes almost write themselves, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, We'd love to get your hate mail. It's the show at Geeks. You just send it to the Tech Fan stuff. Yeah. The show at techfanpodcast.com.
In fact, I mean, put it out there. Yeah. Send us your hate mail. Yeah. And we will rag on it on the show.
Absolutely. And of course, go to geekspubpodcast.com. You can see the show notes there. You can listen to it right in your web browser there or at mymac.com. I was uploading them to YouTube, but it's a lot of work and I just didn't want to anymore. If there was a tool I could just drag in and it just does the whole thing for me, I would do it, but just got bored with it. Plus, iMovie sucks to use now, by the way.
I haven't used
iMovie. It sucks. They destroyed iMovie.
If I've got to do video editing now, I use LumaFusion because I just can't stand iMovie anymore.
iMovie's terrible. They took a brilliant product and just completely destroyed it in the hopes that people would spend money to get their pro product, which is way better. But anyways, that's more of a tech fan discussion, I think.
Next week, then.
Next week, we're going to talk all about Christmas. We're not, totally not going to do that. And we talked about on Tech Fan that My Mac is coming up in their 1,000th episode. And both David and I and my original co-host on the My Mac podcast, Chad Perry, so far are all going to be on there. But that I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yep.
And I even told Guy on the show that if he and Gaz retired, they didn't want to do it anymore, that Tech Fan would just simply transition to the My Mac podcast because that show has been running for so long that I don't want that show to go away.
Yep.
And, you know, it's still the new show for us here anyways. So
10 years.
He actually asked me, he asked me off air, you know, I was thinking about putting the shows back together, the show and Tech Fan. And I was like, you know, Tech Fan is really more about technology and Geeks Pub is more about, you know, popular culture and that sort of stuff. So they are kind of different shows, even though it's the same two people talking about stuff. And for the time being, I think it just works better as a different show. It's a different mindset, if you will.
Yeah.
But Geeks Pub, this show, this will be show 92. So we've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been doing all of it for quite a while now, longer than you think.
Well, yeah, Geeks Pub started in 2019,
yep.
December 15th, actually, exactly today.
There we go.
Look at that. Years. The stun setting was what it was called. Tim and David kick back in Geeks Pub and chat about the most influential, famous people. I remember that. The new Star Wars movie next week, Watchmen, Star Trek, and a bunch more.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like exactly what we just did.
Not much evolution then.
And then I had Eric Diaz on episode 2, and we talked about The Rise of Skywalker, which we just talked about.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We're doing the same shit, aren't we?
Indeed.
Yeah. 5 years later, here we are, still talking about Star Wars and apes and rabies.
rabid apes.
Rabid apes. David, I'll see you in a week on Tech Man.
See you then.